Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
All right. So, I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes about the Apostle Peter. To get to this image of beautiful content and an appropriate learning process and then figuring out how to plan for that in our local contexts, I'd love to give you three pictures of what the Apostle Peter experienced and then was able to share with his disciples. So, first example is John 21. All right. Does anybody know what was happening in John 21 with Peter? All right. This is after Jesus is crucified, after he is resurrected. Okay, what's going on in John 21? Peter is preaching in a synagogue or
running through the
tomb. This is after that. Mm-hmm. Yep. Jesus is resurrected.
He went fishing.
Yeah, not his finest moment in John 21. He went back to fishing. Okay, let's imagine, all right, someone that Jesus says, I am going to build my church on you. And he went back to fishing. Okay, and then Jesus says, come and eat breakfast with me. Who remembers, what does it signify in that ancient Near East culture to share a meal with one another? What's the?
Unity.
Unity?
Relationship.
Relationship. Fellowship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. These are signs of peace. All right. When enemies would come, they would share a meal together when they made peace. All right. Sign of fellowship. Sign of unity. And so Jesus invites Peter to come. Say, share a meal with me, fish and bread. Where has Peter also seen Jesus share fish and bread? Feeding the 5,000. Please, in John 21, let's see the holistic experience of how Jesus was meeting Peter in his state of saying, you know what, I was the one who denied Christ three times. I'm going to go back to fishing. I just asked you, are you encouraged? Are you discouraged? Where do you think Peter is on that scale? Yeah. you just ache with him. What was Peter smelling at that moment? Yeah. He was smelling fish, but fish can smell a lot of different ways. Okay, yes, but was the fish raw or being cooked at this moment?
Jesus?
Yeah. It was being grilled. Mm-hmm. There was a wood fire going. When's the last time that we see Peter in Scripture smelling a wood fire?
When he denied Christ.
Mm-hmm. What time of day was this in John 21? Was it early? Was it late? They had fished all night, and then day breaks, and he says, cast your net on the other side. So it's early morning, okay? Have any of you, I grew up for part of my life on a farm. Have any of you grown up on a farm? Any of you have experience on a farm? Is there an animal that you know of that makes noise when day breaks? Well, okay. But the rooster is the one typically associated with daybreak. All right? It's possible that at this time, in the vicinity of Jesus breaking bread and making peace with Peter, that there was a rooster crowing. Right? What Peter felt, what he smelled, what he heard, there was so much room for discouragement and reminder of, I denied the Christ, the one that I promised I would stick with him every step of the way. And Jesus meets him in every single one of those senses and feelings to say, eat breakfast with me. So the first point of this entering into Peter's story is the holistic of all of his senses and his feelings. And does Jesus leave Peter where he is? Does he enter into Peter's life in this moment and say, eat with me, and then say, go back to fishing? No. Okay. Colin, do you remember what he says? He says, do you love me? He asks him a question. Okay. For those of us saying, hey, I'd like to have a you know, kind of a program or a sense of what does it mean to do discipleship? All right, it's entering in holistically to the experience of those that we are attempting to share life and faith with. How are they feeling? Are they encouraged? Are they discouraged? And then asking them questions. Right? Jesus says, do you love me? Yeah. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Okay. And then the very last thing that he says to Peter in this passage is, follow me. That was the very first thing that Jesus ever said to Peter. So, follow me, feed my sheep, and follow me. And this is one of the things that I think we focused on every session in the foundational track, is that there is about twice as much of follow me in discipleship and leadership multiplication as feeding. Right? But what happens as we make it work? As we see ourselves in a position, in a church, in a ministry, in an organization, do we tend to focus on the following Christ or on the feeding of sheep? Now we say, oh, I have to, and you know, this person needs the, I mean, we're really good at the Genesis 3 of deflecting and blaming others. But it's us. Christ comes and meets us exactly where we are. I know that I often, at the end of the day, even at the beginning of the day, say, Christ, I have denied you. He meets us right there. And three times we'll say, don't you remember who I am, what I've done, who you are in my death and resurrection? And then he doesn't leave us in our despair. He says, follow me. Follow me in hope and in life. Follow me in making disciples. We often then say, well, it's going to be all about feeding others. That's going to be the measurement of the ministry. And Christ simply reminds us, follow me, and out of that following, you will feed. You will be fed yourself, and you will be filled to overflowing, and out of that overflow will be enough for those that I lead you to. Did you guys receive the readings that I have? I've sent some readings to you guys. At the end of this session, we'll be having some discussion, but there's the cycle of grace in the cycle of grief. And I showed that to those, at least last year, I think that was a slide. But we can start with my identity is based on what I do and how many people I feed, or our identity can be based on the adoption through Christ, through his grace. And if we are in that cycle of grief, then we will constantly be making it about feeding. And unfortunately, we're making it about discipleship and leadership development will come out of trying to feed people out of our own strength. And we will burn out. The cycle of grace says, I am an adopted child of God. Out of that identity, out of that confidence, I am free to simply show you more of who he is instead of trying to feed you myself. Point to how he is the bread of life, how he is the living water that we all need. So, Peter does not go back to the fishing boat. He goes to the synagogues. He heals people, he preaches, thousands come to faith. Well, if we're looking for, okay, how can we be successful disciplers? Then I think our talk ends right there. You simply follow Christ, out of that you feed people, and then wonderfully successful ministry happens, you get written about in books, and you retire. Okay? End of story. Is that where Peter's story ends? We're going to focus on two more steps. We could take the whole week of just doing talking about everything that Peter experienced. We're going to use two more examples and then have a lot of discussion. The first example comes from Acts 10. And in Acts 10, Peter is praying on a roof. All right? Now, this looks like following. Okay, we have this continuation of, you know, follow me, great. Well, he's praying, hello, Lord. You know, here I am, send me. And then in that, at the same time, as he's praying, God is also working in a man called Cornelius, a God-fearer. And God is working in both of these people at the same time. Okay, now let's look at Peter first. Peter's kind of our barometer for discipleship in this session. So let's look at what God is doing through Peter. So, you know, Peter's praying, and then God literally sends him a vision, concrete communication. Please, look at the animals here. Rise, kill, and eat. I know you're hungry. What is Peter's reaction to eating snakes and things that he's been forbidden to eat all of his life in order to please the Lord? Heaven forbid, never. All right. Peter is undone. He is shaken to his core. His whole cultural identity has been about this sense of what is pleasing to God, what is not pleasing to God. And then God is saying, what I have created you may no longer call unclean. This is a new covenant that I am giving to you in Jesus Christ. This promise that I have fulfilled from the beginning of time, but now is made evident in Jesus, is something that I want to communicate to you, but also through you. And that then takes us to Cornelius. Okay? Cornelius is someone who really fears God and is doing physical acts out of a respect for God, out of a desire to somehow please God. But what's standing in the way of Cornelius becoming a disciple? So he's a God-fearer, but that's different than a disciple of Jesus. What's standing in the way?
He's a foreigner.
He's a foreigner? Sure. That's true. But the Ethiopian eunuch a few chapters earlier was a foreigner, but he was baptized. So we're thinking about discipleship and leadership development. What was missing? That's probably a bit, instead of standing in the way, what was missing?
Somebody in his life.
Yes. Exactly. Okay. Well, what was missing in Peter's life? Why wasn't Peter already there? Oh, I didn't know I was supposed to go to that neighbor. Okay, because I'm not sure I can really associate with Cornelius. The cultural mandate that Peter has held on to so tightly was shattered. Again, let's think and try and put ourselves into Peter's position. How do you think Peter felt at that moment? Yeah, this is a reflection of insecurity. All of a sudden, what I thought I knew, I no longer know. What else am I wrong about? What is going on? In this insecurity of our culture, of what we think we know, this is when often we feel and we get a better grasp of God's grace holding on to us. When we lose our grip on a culture, on a tradition, on a practice, when that is suddenly ripped from our fingers, the things that we've been holding on to, our first reaction is to try and get a grip on something new. Okay. The first few years of ministry, I was in Latin America. I was not in Germany. And in Latin America, we had earthquakes all the time. And have any of you been in an earthquake?
Yeah.
What's one of the first things that you do in an earthquake?
You think it's the end of
the world. You think, okay, my world is ending. That's exactly what Peter is. Okay, my cultural world is ending. Yeah, I feel like I'm dying. Right? You cover and you try and brace because it's like this. And I remember I was in a classroom and I tried to put my hand on something that I thought was solid and I realized it was moving just as much as I was. And there was no comfort there. And it made me realize the only thing that kept me alive at that moment was the grip of grace. When I lose my grip on things that I've been holding on to that cannot sustain life, you realize how tightly you're held by the grasp of God's grace. So with Jesus saying, Peter, follow me, okay, Peter then leaves to go meet Cornelius. He meets the men who've come for him. He does not hesitate. It's very clear in Acts 10. He does not hesitate. He goes. Yeah. And what he says is, after he hears Cornelius and after he preaches, I know now that God does not withhold this life, this forgiveness, from anyone. Okay, think about that for a second. What do you think his tone of voice, if someone was trying to film a movie based on this part of Scripture, what do you think his tone of voice would be?
Humble.
Humble? Yeah, I realize I've been wrong. I've been short-selling how grand God's vision and how beautiful his kingdom, how rich and how multifaceted it is. I've been thinking of it too small. Yeah, that is humiliating. Humility. Anything else? Rejoicing. Yeah, there is a huge connection between humility and rejoicing, between humility and wisdom, according to the book of James. This is good news. And he goes on to express exactly what the good news is to an entire household. If I can make a quick plug to the attempt that we're doing as far as individual discipleship with each of you this week, but also discipleship as a group or as a cohort. In your individual contexts, is it possible to think about discipleship as an individual relationship, but also as a family or a group relationship? Just to finish up, we have a perfect example in 1 Peter of where Peter ends up as a disciple maker. Let me just read this to you quickly. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you rejoice. And I started in verse 3, and what starts this in verse 2 is, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to of Jesus Christ, for sprinkling of his blood. And this is what I would love for you to write down, because this is going to be just the motto, the soundbite that we try and hit the entire week. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Grace and peace. Paul talks about this all the time. He often begins his epistles with it, his letters to the churches. He often ends with it. And one commentator has said that this is not something to skip over, because these are the two best things he can wish. That these are two of the most important principles. Grace, you are forgiven. Christ has met you on the beach after you've denied him three times. And he's given you his peace of knowing that wherever he leads you, he will not forsake you. What Peter says is, may these two greatest things be multiplied to you. Now, he talks about two reasons why they would be multiplied to us. First is, I know that you've been grieved by various trials. Suffering is real. And him multiplying his grace to you in the midst of your trials produces a genuineness of faith. Also, like we talked about a little bit earlier, when grace and peace are multiplied to you, they are more than you need in that moment. That this grace and peace is to you, but also through you. It is for you and for those that he brings you to in ministry, in life, that you have an abundance of grace. You have an outpouring of peace. And that as people see, as you are suffering, as you are struggling, that that is enough for you, and that you have even more to give as you struggle. That is discipleship. That is multiplying leadership, of saying, I have been given so much that I have more than enough for this day. May I please share that with you by entering into where the people that we work with are, by asking them questions, you know, by trying to understand where they struggle, and then to point from where they struggle to the abundance, to this inheritance that Peter talks about in chapter 1. Okay. Do you have the outline for this? Is that something that I'm not, some of you have it, some of you don't. I don't think we're going to waste time with that. Okay, this is a bit, it's probably on an app. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is that something that we can all access quickly, or is that going to take a ton of time? Because we don't want to spend a ton of time. Yeah? Yeah. Okay, let's just do this. Okay. Getting back to the first questions of, are you encouraged? Are you discouraged? Are you feeling relatively well-equipped, or are you feeling relatively unequipped? And what question would you like to ask? At your tables, please think about where Peter started and where he ended up, okay? He started with Christ saying, do you love me? John 21, and then Acts 10, love Cornelius. And then, as we see, in 1 Peter, it's talking about faith leading to making of disciples based on this firm foundation of faith and an imperishable inheritance. Does this ring a bell for anyone? I've taken three passages of Scripture, and I want you to see if we can look at the pattern that we have. Love God and love your fellow man. What is that? Great commandment. Okay. A genuine faith leading to making disciples and teaching them everything that Jesus has taught us. What's that? Great commission. Okay.